You're listening to Yale Radio WYVC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.
Today on our show, we're talking with Anton Kern. Anton, thanks so much for being with us today.
Yeah, hi.
So let's talk about the gallery. What is it? I know this is a broad question, but everybody has a program, a vision behind how they're presenting work. How can you describe the vision of the gallery as you see it, and perhaps through the lens of the show that you're having now as well?
Okay. Vision is a big word. I feel if I can implement something like a vision, that would be something I'm definitely interested in. I like to start from when I opened the gallery, which was 1996, with the show that was it was an idea of something. It wasn't actually at first a show. It was first an event, even though the word event is not something I use very often. And it was Angus Fairhurst and friends of Angus Fairhurst. They were formed a band there called Low Expectations, and to me that was kind of significant as a you know, on the number of levels. I mean, I know Angus because he was a very interesting artist, you know, also happened to be a boyfriend of Sarah Lucas at the time, but you know, the word Low Expectations to me was exactly the, you know, the kind of the opposite is the truth, and I wanted high expectations, and I'm asking for high expectations, and I give everything I can give to those expectations, and I hope the artists will do the same. So that said, when you look at the David Shrigley show that I have right now, which is my sixth show with the artist, he's also English, happened to live in Glasgow for 27 years and just moved, which to me is significant somehow. I think he has given everything. I mean, he's been somebody I'm following throughout the years, as I said, my sixth show. So, you know, that said, I know him for probably about 14 years or maybe less, but it's like you put trust in the artist, and I think they get, and it requires the same from the dealer. Mm-hmm. So, that's kind of, if that makes any sense.
It does. Mm-hmm. It does. And so as you've gone through so many different artists over the years, including this wonderful show, how is it that you get drawn? What do you feel is there an aesthetic, or is there a specific agenda? I mean, you know, your gallery is sometimes called sort of futurist or cutting edge that way. How is there an aesthetic that you're often looking for, or what is it comes into your field of view? I know it's an abstract question.
I'm
curious
how
your vision starts without you know.
Well, aesthetic is kind of probably something the artist has more than that I have. I'm not, you know, interested in aesthetic, but there is definitely something to be said, which I haven't really 100% figured out what it is that drives me as far as like there is a kind of a common thread, or you know, among these artists, and I'm sure there is. I think it comes all or goes all back to the question of painting, and David's show. Who even though he isn't a painter, he studied painting in Glasgow, I believe, in the School of Arts there, and this show is sort of different from a lot of the other shows that he's on, because this is actually, I'm walking around here as we speak, and I'm looking at the work, and they're all, you know, even though they're on paper, the medium is acrylic on paper, I mean, they come as close as anyone can get to paintings who isn't actually a painter, who doesn't use canvas and doesn't use a brush per se. But
right.
It is painting, you know, so maybe this is what you know, I've been asked this question by you, it makes me think now, what is it? I think it's painting that kind of holds it together, yeah.
Well, so let's go back a little bit to, if you don't mind, to how you grew up with painting in the house.
Right.
Did you, I mean, even what we're talking about now, those kind of brush strokes, you grew up with it with a definition that was, you know, living in an artist's house. Did that also give you a sense of, or is that a definition of painting you think you rely on there? That seems quite rich and extraordinary, really.
Well, I think on a number of levels it's important to me because on one hand, you know, you grow up like, you know, like anyone, like a little boy. And we traveled, we had to travel around a lot, which is probably the first significance in my life because there was, you know, my dad, who happens to be an artist, who is extremely committed to that, and the whole family, it all culminated around that. I mean, it all, you know, involved him in the center of it, and there was no, you know, first there was almost no, there was no money, so I guess there was no, you know, my dad was sort of like working alone in his world, and that for an artist is probably really one of those very tough things when you don't get the immediate you know, feedback or achievement, or you don't become famous like from one day or the other. You know, it just happened very slowly. So we traveled around and had to move around a lot. So I had to change schools a lot, and then to grow up in a household of a painter, which is basically you meet all these people, curators and other clowns and freaks in that circus of ours, it's exciting. But as a kid, you also like it fucking freaks you out. I mean, it really does. It's like you see when I first met James Lee Byers or something with this golden suit and this ridiculous hat and stuff, and you look at it and you're like, what the hell is all this, and what does it mean for me, and who am I, and you're already kind of in a mix of your life, and then that comes on top of it. So later on, when I became more involved with the actual how would you call it? It's not just like, you know, when I grow older, so I became more interested in what this is all and what it means for me. And then I became part of, you know, I became part of this business, the art world, and I became an art dealer, and I learned it. I mean, I studied it and so on, not in a university, but in different other venues and different other ways.
And having an early education of those kind of figures in the house, James Lee Byers, that sounds great. I don't know whether that sounded alternately scary as well as kind of wonderful. It sounds
extraordinary. It's wonderful, but it is scary. It's like you go up somewhere and like you're the son of a famous writer, and you keep on running into these intellectual figures, and they're talking about nothing but the meaning of life and the you know, finding that meaning and what is painting versus, you know, abstract art or conceptual art, and why do we not, you know, care for, you know, that sort of thing. But this is the other party, you know. I mean, it's highly charged, you know, and there's, it sounds interesting, but when you're like as a kid, it can be quite scary and frightening. Later on, I mean, I really sort of lived thinking about a lot of these encounters I had at the time, and I think they formed me as a human being, but also being part of this, as I said, part of, you know, being an art dealer, working with artists and working with their problems and their day-to-day life, and where can you help, and what is my position in their lives, because I believe it's a very close relationship. And so that helped me a lot in my career so far. But to get to that point, I think it's a long journey.
But you said there were these kind of moments, these things that helped form that. Was there any in particular? I mean, James Lee Byers was one.
That was just something that comes to mind because he has a particular look. And
right,
he was an amazing guy. I just didn't know the work before I knew the man.
So were there other thinkers or artists
that were
influential?
Yeah, there were others, yeah. I met Don Van Vliet at the time, you know, Captain Beefheart, and I actually, he was one of those people that, since I was listening to Frank Zappa and those sort of music, I knew of Captain Beefheart. But when I met him and he introduced himself as like Don Van Vliet, and I saw some paintings, and I was like, who is this guy? Is this the musician? And that to me was important because that was the world I was, before I liked art, so to speak, I liked music. And that kind of was formative. And a lot of curators, I mean, really just like, I mean, there were so many. And, you know, the encounters, they're very personal and personable, you know, and they're not about, you know, they're just about me being a child, being around and seeing what's going on. But then being part of listening to my father's conversations with these people and just being the sort of the fly on the wall, so to speak, that was interesting later on because at the time, and I'm sure you had the same feeling, it's like when you're 14, 15, you don't have anything to do with your parents per se, and then you started late. Right? I mean, it's like, come on, it's puberty, and you better not, you know what I mean?
Because you
really want to be something different. And later on, you kind of look back, and you're like, fuck, that was amazing, you know? I mean, I met that person, and, you know, and it's sort of like it becomes more, it becomes more meaningful than it was at the time, and you realize it later on more than you do. You do now. I mean, you do later more than then, you know. And you know that's how it is. And living in the world of art is interesting. I mean, in any kind of way you can. I mean, it's not just a corporation. It's not a corporation. It's a very abstract sense, and the feeling that you kind of get out of this, and it's like, again, what is the meaning of life, you know? And I think you could...
Right,
you
some
could
of those questions that would be...
philosophize about that forever, yeah.
No, but that's interesting. That comes full circle in a way. This is
totally
some of what you heard as you were growing up, artists philosophizing, talking about the meaning of life, defining painting. In a way, you're and stop me if I'm wrong, but you're extending that conversation to some degree with your galleries.
I hope so. I really do. And I have these conversations pretty much every day with the artists that I work with. I just had this conversation half an hour ago with an artist who I've been working with for 15 years, and he's a photographer, and he really taught me so much about art, that like this medium photography that I wasn't at first so attuned with, and which is this guy called Saul Fletcher, and he moved to Germany, he moved to Berlin, he's English. And his work is extremely important to me, but it's also like, it's even though it's photography, it has a lot to do with paintings. I mean, he really paints physical things on the wall and then takes a picture of it and then he wipes it off. And then he does another thing. And we had the conversations about what is it all, where are we, what do we do, and where we go from here. And I find that a conversation you can have every day, and it's not always pleasant. Because, I mean, not everybody, but people say the art world is, it's all about money and it's about profits and it's about the next gallery space, and that, it's not what this is about. It really isn't. You know, I think it's way more than that. Hopefully.
And you're talking about the conversation. Now, this is a wonderful thing to talk about. Essentially, what it is that's more of is these conversations that are sometimes comfortable with artists that you're having and not, but we're talking about painting and issues of life and aesthetics.
Yeah.
Is that correct if I'm not being too
summary?
Yeah, well, you bring up this word aesthetics, but I think it's also like it's about livelihood and so many things depending on a gallery, and they're running on my shoulder, and they have to do with what their expectation is, and also what my expectation is. And this is, again, I mean, it's complex, but it is a relationship when people say, what do you do? You have a gallery, and what is it? And if they don't really understand how complex it is, I think this is, for you guys, interesting in your show, I mean, in your radio. I heard something the other day. Was it Rob Storr or something like that?
Yes, Rob Storr, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, and I looked at that. And he's an artist, and he comes, right? I understand he's an artist,
yes.
And he comes from the artist's point of view. And not that I agree with everything he says, but I can see that his position is basically coming from being an artist and then being in a position as a curator. I mean, I worked with him at the Museum of Modern Art, and it was very difficult at the time because the museum was on strike. And his position was he was like in the midst of all this. And it was, anyway, that's another story. But he... You know, I find these crossover situations, I think we can learn from the other side, you know. And if you have a gallery and you come from an artist's point of view, I find that very interesting. Or you have a gallery and you come from, like, you know, from another totally different body, or, you know, like from a curator point of view or from, a collector's point of view. I mean, collectors these days open galleries. It can be, who knows, it can be interesting.
I think in closing, a lot of artists are also, you know, graduating from Yale with MFAs. You know, Rob Storr talked about, you know, how do these artists get out into the world and get noticed by galleries or people like yourself? What do you say to those kind of artists? I imagine you go to crits or see them or visit studios.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I always hear people say, oh, just believe in what you do, and once you believe in it, just don't give up your dreams. And I mean, I could say that, but the reality is, I think, quite different, you know. How did you get recognized? I mean, I don't know. I really don't. And I feel sometimes I'm scared by these notions that when you are a student or something in some art school, and the teacher gives you the list of art, you know, of galleries and art dealers, and you say, oh, you could fit into this category, or you could fit into this category, or you should approach this gallery. I don't know. Is that the equipment you feel like? I mean, you feel like that's a good idea for.
I don't know. I don't know. You're saying that's partly what's taught in the school,
isn't it? I mean, I hear this sometimes. Maybe you can explain it to me.
In some way, I think so. Sure, that's part of what's taught in schools. I don't teach at Yale, but I think that is taught at schools.
Is that a good idea? You can't just. It can't be a good idea to give people that as equipment and say, okay, go to David Zwirner. He shows this artist. If you do this sort of work, I think you should do what you do. You can't just do something to fit a certain kind of, as you put it, aesthetic or market model. I think you should just forget all that and do your thing, you know. And if you're good enough, most likely you get recognized.
Right.
And if you're radical enough, I think you have to have the belief, the guts, the stamina, but I don't know if there's actually a rule of thumb. Okay, I get famous by, you know, doing this.
No, there certainly isn't a recipe.
I mean, luck has a lot to do with it. Let's not discount luck. But seriously, you know. It's like a lot of people, they stumble into somebody and they say, okay, I met this person and this person started my career.
Right. Do you see yourself in situations like that? Is that...
Yes.
Do those kind of occurrences happen?
Absolutely. Not personally, but you know, it's like when you read on how people, like, you know, some famous art dealer started out or something and who they met, and, yeah, of course. I'm just continuously searching. I find the search is what gets me going out of bed in the morning and sort of gets me, you know, to do what I do, and maybe that's the drive I need.
And by searching, you mean by searching for new artists, new art, different ways of seeing, or
things, just things. It's not new artist or new anything. Sometimes people come to your gallery, or my gallery in this case, and they say, you know, how do I, you know, what's the hot new artist? And I say, you know, I mean, if you really want to seriously talk about it, you should just forget about that sort of terminology first of all. You know, what's hot today can be not so hot tomorrow, and it should not be about hot. It should be about longevity. It should be something you want to do, and you want to do it tomorrow, and you want to do it 10 years after. And if you do, and I guess that's why you guys asked me to come to this, you know, talk about this thing. This stuff is I have a little bit of experience to bring along, but when you look at my the resume of artists that I've been showing and how long I've been showing them, I think that's something that is kind of rare in this day and age, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think it is too.
I mean, and that's what I want to continue to do, and hopefully I'll be able to do it.
Well, I hope you're able to do it too. I really admire your program and your gallery, and I'm grateful for you talking with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You're listening to Yale Radio WIBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.